those things. Matthew chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. I'm not going there now. Just hold the scriptures as we continue this morning, this series called Disciple Shift. Disciple Shift. When I'm not going to read these, but just refer to them, we have again, remember, Acts 20:20. This is our master vision plan from publicly, from Sunday to Sunday, to celebrate, to teach God's Word, to preach God's Word, to communicate His gospel in this gathering, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday nights. We'll continue to do that. We'll continue to propagate and preach the gospel and share Jesus. That's what we're to be doing outside the walls of this church. We're to do it publicly. But then house to house, how we grow in our relationship with Jesus in the sense of more intimate, smaller groups. And in the coming weeks, we'll introduce to you what we're going to call life groups. That where we want as many people that possibly would to become a part of life groups and to as a place to grow in your relationship with Jesus. And that'll be something you're going to hear more about in the next couple of weeks. But then Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Again, Paul said, I travail in birth pains until Christ be formed in you, talking to the church of Galatia. And so this whole idea of Christ formation, of the Spirit of the Lord and His entrance into my life, that Christ-like character be formed in my life, this is very important, and we're going to say more about this formation this morning. But this is another key verse that I want you to get in your spirit and in your heart. And these things are things I want you to become a part of your life, where somebody could ask you what we're doing here. Somebody could say, what is going on at Christian Heritage Church? This is what I want you to tell them. I don't want you to tell them just about buildings. I want you to tell them about the Christ formation of the spiritual things that are going on in the life of the church and what the church is all about. And then we come to this Matthew 4:19, but we're going to be looking at verses 4:18 through 20 today. Last week we dealt with the subject of follow. Follow. And you know something about following, and we talked about it last week, is that it's intentional. And you cannot follow and stay where you are. That following requires movement. Following requires action. You, in fact, C.S. Lewis said that really inherent to life is change. Inherent to life is movement. When you see the growth of a human being, there's changes that occur. You see the growth of a tree or a plant. Maybe you started with the seed and it comes up out of the ground. And if there's no growth, there's no growth, there's no signs of change, you then or make the correct assumption that something is wrong. Something is wrong. And so following requires movement. It requires movement. And then we go to our verse of Scripture today. You can put it up, Matthew 4:18-19. And we had the Scriptures last week where we talks about Simon, Peter, and Andrew. We know from another passage that Andrew went and got Simon Peter because he had saw Jesus. But on this occasion, we have Jesus seeing them. And Jesus, as he saw them, he said, come follow me. And let's just say it together. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me. And so that was our text last week. Follow me. What we learned about this word follow me, two words for us, is one word in the original Greek language, which means to unite ourselves on the same road with Jesus. As a disciple of Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, he was calling Andrew and Simon Peter, you unite with me in my way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You unite with me in the way and follow me. Yoke yourself to me and learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You yoke with me. You walk with me. This is fellowship. So our definition for discipleship is that I am a Christ follower. I follow Him. I'm united on the same road with Him. Also, then we know it says, and I will make you that we are changed and being changed by Jesus. That's the mark of a disciple of Jesus Christ, that they are changed and are being changed. And then that third part, fishers of men, our definition again, committed to the mission of Jesus to save the lost, to reach the lost, to win the world, to help make disciples, be a disciple maker, that people would grow up spiritually and prepare themselves for life to come, but also live the life of the abundance now. Amen? That's what He wants out of us. Today, I want to deal with the subject of changed. Changed. I remember this old song I learned a long time ago. I sing it around here sometimes. They hear me in the office sing this. Well, I wanted to be good, tried to do the best I could. Even said a little prayer now and then. But somehow the more I tried to tell the truth, the more I lied. But the big change came when I was born again. Oh, the big change came when I was born again. By the grace of God, I'm not what I had been. Since this transformation came, I have never been the same. Oh, the big change came when I was born again. The name of that is The Big Change. Anybody ever heard that before? Am I the oldest person here? Okay. The big change. Because the reality is, the more I try to tell the truth, I can't do it. What I'm saying is, I can't do everything that's needed for me to become all that God wants for me to be. That's why when He said, follow me, I will make you. I will make you. What is that? He changes us. He's changing me. And we do a lot of talking in the church about transformation. I need to be transformed. We talk about being transformed. And I want us to understand that language today. And when we see in our text in Matthew 4 and 19, and it says, I will make you, fishers of men, I will make you. This word make is a word, the Greek word is poioe. It really means to form. So the word make is translated other places, form. Form. I want to form you. I want to transform your life. I want to change your life. When I think about the word make and I think about the word form, I can't help but, in Jesus, reminder, Jesus is the one saying this. But I couldn't help but to, in my mind, run to John chapter 1. When it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the following verses say, and it speaks concerning creation and how that the Word was there in creation and nothing was made or formed that was formed. Nothing was made that was made without Jesus, the Word. How do we know it's Jesus in John 1? Because verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We find out that it was the light of Jesus that entered the world. He was there in creation. So when I look at the moon and the stars and I look at the earth, I see a Creator God. A lot of times we're not thinking about Jesus when we think about the creation. But I want to tell you, according to John 1, we're talking about the Creator and we're talking about Jesus at the same time. He was there. And this same Jesus wants to reshape me, form me, transform me, transmake me into what He wants me to be. That's what discipleship is. This is what being a disciple is all about. He's doing this work within me. And when we think about Him being a maker, a transformer, can't help but go to Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18, I want you to read this with me. "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So here we see that He is the potter, we are the clay, and He is desirous to make us, to shape us, to form us into what He wants us to be as servants of the Most High, to impact this world, to make a difference for the cause of Jesus Christ. The potter has got us on the wheel, but we have to submit to His will. We have to submit to the potter's hands, and don't jump off the wheel if you're on the wheel. But submit and yield to His shaping. Now there's the nature of change that I want to draw our attention to. The nature of change. When we consider change, it's very uncomfortable. In fact, it's something that is not easy. Change is not easy. Listen, my body is proof of that. Listen, I've been on every diet. The only one I hadn't really been on that I thought really would work, and I love, anybody really knows me and my what I eat, I love hot stuff. I'm talking about spicy hot stuff. But there are a few peppers along the way that I've got a hold of that will, you'll turn down food. So I thought, you know, maybe I can lace it with some of the hottest peppers, every food, every dessert, every everything. Then you won't eat much. That, I've never read about that diet. You know what I'm saying? It would work. What I've come to know is every diet works. Everybody agree with that? It does. I mean, you could go say, I remember the day when they were stressing no fats. You go, you could lose weight if you did exactly what it said. Now, I'm not saying you're going to keep it off, but you could do it. What's crazy about it is now they have the keto diet, which says primarily eat fats. What? Then you have low carb, no carb, high protein, but don't get too many proteins. There's all kinds of things. What I'm saying, change is tough. I've saw people that have been really good at change, but then, you know, all of a sudden, change gets to them. You know, change happens. Everybody don't stay as stealth as I do. Jim feels that. I mean, he is like slim, trim. I am too, Jim, in my own way. But you know what I'm getting at is, it's always when I try to change myself, there's always a falter. Now, I'm not against us doing everything that we possibly can, because we are, we know this, and spiritually speaking, faith without works is dead. But I want to tell us something. We can do nothing to get sin, to free ourselves of sin in and of ourselves. We can do nothing in and of ourselves to reshape our hearts spiritually, the insides of us. That there have been people who whose bodies have been racked with disease that on the outside look like perfect specimens. Likewise, a person can look very spiritual on the outside and really be wrought with sin on the inside. I could have all of the trappings of what it looks like into other people that I'm a dedicated, consecrated Christian, but then in reality, the heart of my heart would be in bad shape. See, change is not easy. Transformation, sometimes on God's will, is a difficult thing. Sometimes he has to cut away and to reshape in ways that and chisel away at our life that we don't like. Maybe relationships change as he chisels away. Maybe he breaks us of some habits that are painful in some way to us. And but nevertheless, it's something that God has to bring about in our life. It's something he has to penetrate in our life. It's something he has to do. And I want to tell you, he said he chastens those he loves, and sometimes it hurts when certain things have to be broken in our life. But I want to tell you, there's something, because of the love of God is what compels people. The love of God is what compels, the Scripture says, for people to come to Christ. And it's the love of God that ultimately will be the healing balm. And when the potter is finished, he'll finish and have a vessel of honor. He'll have a person that he can work with, a person that will bring him glory. Don't you want to give God glory? Allow him to put you at his will and allow the Word of God to work on you and change you and the Holy Spirit to have his way within you, and it'll be marvelous what happens in your life. See, change can be so uncomfortable that some people are resistant to it. We live in days where, and the Bible says in the last days there will be those that seek teachers that will speak to them things that their ears want to hear. You see, sometimes dealing with my weakness is very uncomfortable. And so some people would rather you not talk about sin, not talk about judgment, not talk about all of Scripture, just pick out the good pieces. Just find those things that are soothing in the book. Just preach on those things. What I like is to tell you how the potter reshapes, and sometimes it hurts, but then he pours the love on us. That's what I always try to do with our boys. I disciplined them, then I tried to pour love on them to make sure they understood the why. Why? For God so loved that He gave. God's love. God's love. How rich, how pure, how measureless and strong. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. And all of my guilt, all of my shame, in His love is taken away. And I'm able to stand in His mighty presence in the love of God, unashamed, because it's been wiped away, all of my sins. See, change is what we have to surrender to and yield to. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. You see, the thing is, this nature of change, it's not easy, but I can't change myself. Can't change myself. So what is it? What is it that He was wanting to change about us? There's three aspects of this change. The three aspects are, one is the body. Now, I want us to understand that for a moment. See, the body is the outer life. That's what I want to refer to as the outer life. He wants to change my outer life. Okay? And a lot of times that's what we see. We look at change, we look at the outer life. When I look at a plant, I don't see the roots, I see the outer part. And so when I think about the body, the outer life, what people see, that deals with speech and actions, my outer life. Would you say that with me? Speech and actions. My outer life, body. Body. There's three aspects of change. And so I want that to be changed. I want my speech to be that represents Jesus and that God is pleasing with. And the Bible has a lot to say about it. There's so many applicable scriptures to what comes out of my mouth. But that's an area in which we may identify in this room and say, that's me. My actions, you remember, love is how you treat somebody, you remember? Actions, how are we, what are we doing, what's our behavior, what's our conduct in this world? We want that to be pleasing to God. And so I need to be made, I need to be changed, I need to be formed. Because left to my own doing, I'll make a big mess of things in my actions and in my speech. Another aspect of change, that and all of these are tied one to another, they're not just like choices, there is mind. You see, because our body, our outward selves cannot be changed apart from the transformation of our minds. So my speech and actions, I'll be just left in a struggle if my mind is not changed. And so this change is affecting everything. And so my mind, let this mind be in you which is also in Christ Jesus. The Bible talks about the renewing of our minds. The mind speaks to thoughts and affections. Say thoughts and affections. Body is speech and actions. Our mind is thoughts and affections. You see, my thought life has got to be changed, and my affections and feelings have to be impacted, as the Word of God tells us, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Why? Because these things that are in the mind, they come outside into the body and affect the actions and the speech. So I need the mind, my mind changed. I need my affections. We hear the Word of the Lord saying to us, where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. That really has to do with our mind as well. Our thoughts, our affections. Where's our treasures? Where's our affections? Where is my treasure? Colossians chapter 3. Eric, if you can put that up. Colossians 3. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. Let's read it again. Would you say it with me? If then you are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on this earth. But then I'm just, now here I am. I've needed a body change, a mind change. But the change, it's not just in that. It's a heart change. The heart is the will. Would you say that? The heart is the will. It's the will of man. That's what the heart is. It's the will. Not my will, but thine be done. It's having that's a change right there. That's a change. Where my motivation is Christ. My motivation is not merely on self. My will is not focused on self. Go to the Ezekiel 11 passage as I close. Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart out of the flesh, their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I want to ask you, do you want to be His people? Do we want to be? Yes, yes, yes. And in Christ we are. So we're His people. He is our God. So if that's the case, then it says here that I can walk in His statutes. I can walk in keeping in His judgments. And I can be obedient to Him. But what happens is we're not careful. We get this old stony heart that affects our will. And it gets in the way of His will for our life. And He has to change me. You know, the big change came when I was born again. But do you know He's had to change me a lot through the years? Even after I walked with Him, I found places in my heart that were stony. It was calloused. That's another word for this. It was calloused. Some words, man, I'm receptive to it. But then there's some words along the way that was harder for me to accept. There were some truths in the Word and some things I need to apply to my life that were more difficult for me, and changing my will. And I'm sure I'm not alone. oh, calloused heart. But He wants to make it tender and soft, a heart of, not of stone, a heart of flesh. I want to ask you, what change are you in need of today? We're all in need of change. But is there something you are made aware of in your heart's mind as you've been pricked by the Holy Spirit today? Much like we did last Sunday, I want us to take some action steps once again. Some of you, in fact, a number of you last week, I think about 10 people last Sunday, took a Get Connected card and put on there they wanted to follow and take a step and be baptized. That baptism is next Sunday night, February 11th. About 10 people said that last week by writing a B on the Get Connected card and laying it right here on this communion table. There was another dozen or so of folks last Sunday that wrote on there an F. Not a bad grade. F for follow. Follow. They took that step. I want to ask the same thing again today. If you will have not been baptized and you know that you need to, is that next step in your life as you've already believed upon Him as your Savior? On a Get Connected card, I want you to put B on there. Not if you did it last week, but if you didn't do that last week. And at the end of the service, when we're dismissed, I just ask you to just lay it on this table up here and put your name on it. Also, If you are following Jesus for the first time in this message today, you have decided that you're going to follow Him. You have you were touched in this place by the Word of God, and you say, I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to be a real disciple of Jesus, and I believe in Him. I want you to put F on one of those cards. Borrow a pen, a pencil. Everybody around you will be glad to help you. Somebody might even have fingernail polish or something. Just put it, just write it on there. Let me borrow your chapstick. But if you're in this place and you need change in some area, you may have walked with the Lord for some time, but you're needing Him to touch your heart. A callous place. And you'll surrender and yield to that today to become all that He wants you to become, to grow more and more. I want you to do that today. Let's stand together.